due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
Ew, boom, a lily, wah, wah, beep, beep, bop, a loo, whoa, yeah.
You need to step off, big man. Because you look really kind of stupid with a 63-year-old man kicking your ass all over the streets of Chicago.
Whoa, look out. Wardlow.
Yo, what's up? This is DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, and you're listening to the, oh, good God, the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. Bang.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, welcome to the Pain Clinic for November 30th. It's just 2 days after Thanksgiving. Hope you guys all had a great Thanksgiving. Holiday stay real quick. It's stay at home because you are well day. You know, it was that like cheating or something? Or there we go. There we go. I can control my volume in my headphone. I couldn't hear for a second. I was like, I thought there was buttons down by the plug-in. But hey, welcome to the show. I'm the Cashman. I'm joined by Furby in the other studio. How are you doing today, Furbs?
I'm doing great.
Ferb, you... Oh, hold on.
This morning, but yeah. Doing fine.
You are on camera, by the way. We're on Facebook Live, so you can wave to everybody. If you're friends of the Pain Clinic on Facebook, Ferb's got his brand new New York Islanders jersey because he's not a fan.
I even got the captain's patch. John Tavares got it $10 at Burlington. Big jersey guy, so just buy random stuff, but it's a great look for the collection.
All right. And the boy who grew up on the show, Danger Boy, joins us. Danger, how you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning. What's new?
I'm still riding high from Thanksgiving.
Are you?
You know, all that turkey, the pie, the Bills whooping the Cowboys, all that fun stuff.
I think everybody in Rochester is up about there right now. So, hey, welcome. It's another week. And also, we're coming off of last weekend, the, of course, Survivor Series, as well as NXT TakeOver War Games, and we'll talk a bit about that. But before that, I want to let you know we're brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire Culver. You can join us December 14th for UFC 245 at Salvatore's Saloon and Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 East Ridge Road. 10 p.m. start time. You want to get there early. We'll be hosting it. And there'll be great drink specials. Sorry, adult beverage specials. We'll have a good time, I promise. That's December 14th. There's three title fights in the main event. So you have three straight title fights to end the show. It's going to be fantastic. And that's at Salvatore's Saloon out in Scottsville and Salvatore's at the Garage Door in Irondequoit, UFC 245. What's else? Hey, interested in roller derby? You want to be a skater, officiate Rock City Roller Derby? Needs you? Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. Welcome to the week. It's been a short week for most of us. I think it's short for you, Danger, right?
Yeah.
And Ferbs, you worked yesterday? Anyone work on...
I did. And actually, we had a water main break, so I drove all the way out to Brighton, got there. They sent us home at 9, and I worked from home for the rest of the day, and it was just a waste of time.
Okay, but you got paid, so and it's, you know,
I did.
Could have been on Amazon the whole time, right?
What's that?
I said you could have been on Amazon the whole time, right?
Yeah, I mean, I probably would have enjoyed myself more.
I got paid and I didn't have to wake up and drive to work.
Yeah, true. And I work for a school district now. I got paid, so I didn't have to go either. But hey, we got a lot of things to talk about this week. I don't even know where to start. How about we'll start with some reality, okay? Let's talk about Mauro Ranallo and what happened to him last weekend. He, of course, hosted, NXT War Games Takeover. And
Danger, seen since.
Danger, why don't you talk a little bit about it?
So Mauro hosted War Games Takeover, and during the show there was a tweet from Corey Graves who claims he was just trying to further the brand warfare and said, you wouldn't know it, but there is a WWE Hall of Famer and former ROH heavyweight champion on commentary as well.
Yeah, he basically was saying that Mauro talked too much. And
he was saying Mauro talked too much, and then he ridiculed some of his Chicago rap references.
Or his Mamma Mia, you know, which he likes to yell out quite a few times during a show.
So he posted that, and there's a long history, and everybody should know. If you don't, there's a documentary on it as well. Mauro Ranallo battles with depression and bipolar disease. And as soon as the show was over, he saw it, took down his Twitter. He no longer has a Twitter currently and has not been seen since, has not come to work. And they've given him the time off because he did not take it very well. And Corey Graves did not apologize until podcast this week, when he didn't even really apologize. He said, I'm sorry if you took offense to it.
He goes,
if anyone took offense to it.
Yeah, he said, I was trying to stir things up. I'm trying to, you know, that's me. I stir things up. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that, Corey. You know, you can take a target at anybody. You know, I'm sure he wouldn't have said the same thing about Michael Cole if Michael Cole talked way too much. But you take a shot at somebody who has, you know, has problems already, you know, mental problems, and it's not very good. It doesn't make him look good either. And I mean, Corey got a lot of grief from a lot of people, including Frank Shamrock, including Dave Meltzer. It was a lot of...
Frank Shamrock offered to fight him.
Yeah, he said, you know what I would do if someone said something like that to me? He goes, I would punch him or whatever. You know, I'm surprised you didn't get punched. So now Corey was on last night and he was fine. And this is like, what, 2 days after this had all happened. So, you know, I like Mauro Ranallo. I hate that he has a fragile ego and took that so poorly. You know, and you know what, to be honest with you, he does get into it and he's like totally... I mean, it's him for when things get going exciting in a match, he just takes over, you know, and it's almost a shame that the other people didn't interrupt him, because I would have, you know. I mean, and Beth Phoenix, you know, she's great at like yelling when big things happen. She's, oh, you know, and stuff like that. But I'm not, and Nigel, yes, former Ring of Honor champion, but I don't know. What do you think, Danger? I mean, you love Mauro Ranallo, right?
I think Mauro's great. I'm also one of the select few that likes Gus Johnson when he's calling other sports as well.
College basketball.
I like seeing the emotion involved. I like seeing that people actually enjoy what they're watching and they're not just a robotic drone like Joe Buck calling games.
And I think that's huge when it comes to calling sports, because, I mean, that's one thing that, I mean, as a broadcast journalism major, that we were taught, you know, just kind of broadcast the game, try to not show favoritism, but also you can't be afraid to show emotion. And that's the thing is, because that's what really highlights the game. That's what highlights the big spots. Mauro does a fantastic job with that. And the big issue that I have now is that if someone's trying to pinpoint him for actually having the passion for what he does, I mean, obviously he loves what he does. But, I mean, to attack the guy like that, now, did he mean it in any sort of harmless way? Was he just trying to stir the pot? Maybe. So maybe Graves didn't mean it the way that it came off.
I mean, you were listening to it.
Yeah.
It was a lot of Mauro. It was a lot of Mauro.
It's always a lot of Mauro, though.
But I know. Exactly. It always is.
But, I just didn't want to interrupt you, but I'm just saying, you watch it yourself, too. I mean, you could see how maybe someone could have said that, you know? You know, and you know, there's nothing wrong with that either. I mean, you know, maybe we just need to have two-man team in the booth or something, you know, or I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much Beth Phoenix really adds to the broadcast, to be honest with you.
Beth adds. She's gotten much better than she was when she started.
They lean on her when there's women matches.
Yes.
She's definitely come a long way.
So, yeah, I don't know. I feel terrible. I like Mauro, but I do see both sides, and it's... I hope it doesn't mean the end of him with NXT, but if it does, then that means it's going to be Nigel being like the main guy then, which I don't have a problem with either.
Well, they also had Todd Todd Phillips jumped in this week, and he was pretty solid.
Well, he was there. Wasn't he there before? Isn't it?
Didn't
he?
Yeah, him and Corey Graves used to call it.
Yeah, so. 222-1280 star 12 is the number. We've got Mike from Rochester. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing great. How you doing, sir?
Yeah, not too bad. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was very good. It was very low key, but very good.
Absolutely. I enjoyed that Buffalo Bills beatdown on the Cowboys myself.
Oh, man. Everybody here did. You know, I mean, listen, people met him at the airport when they came back. It shows you how big a deal that really was around here.
Absolutely. To comment on what you guys are talking about, I think Corey Graves is a jerk, to be quite honest with you. And I'll tell you one of the things that I don't know if you guys brought up before I called. Was Morrow now on his Twitter before he deleted it, had said that he was going through trouble before Corey Graves sent that tweet out. So Corey Graves is a bully because he knew that Morrow Arnall was having problems because all you got to do is read his Twitter account that weekend. So when he went to the Saturday show, he did that deliberately. He knew that Morrow was going to have problems because, if you remember, that's what JBL did to him, and that's what led him to him not being the SmackDown commentator anymore. So it was deliberate, and his apology was BS at best.
I agree. I mean, especially if you knew what he said, he was having issues before that, you know. It's just, you know that Corey Graves knows that Mauro Ranallo is, you know, you should not take shots at somebody because he has some difficulty dealing with it.
Correct.
Yeah.
I saw that Showtime documentary. It was very revealing. It's like, it was, yeah, he's got major problems. There's no question about it.
Yeah, I know. And so, but, you know, beyond that, you know, I mean, it was a great show. Yeah, I mean, give it up for that. I thought it was a fantastic show.
Oh, absolutely. And I will say, this is one of the things I wanted to call about, was they did a great job with Rhea Ripley and Shayna Baszler. But my question is the next takeover isn't until February. So I think if they wait that long before Rhea Ripley gets a title match, they'll miss the peak. So when do you think, in your opinion, should they give her the title match and then ultimately the win?
We've got 2 hours and 10 minutes to fill every week. I think they could add it in sometime, maybe around Christmas.
Yeah, that's my thought, because it's just like she's right now a superstar on the rise, and I just think that now's the time to pull the trigger. If you wait till February, you might miss the peak.
I would agree. And when is the next takeover? Isn't it during Royal
it's
Rumble?
February 16th. Oh, so it's a Sunday. No, they're actually doing it on a Sunday.
Yeah, they replaced the Royal Rumble with that Worlds Collide thing.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see what that's all about, what they're going to do with that. But
was that when Evolve comes and does stuff with it? Or
I think it's the last time they did it, they did a mix between like NXT, NXT UK, and
the guys they're not using on the main 205 roster.
205 Live.
Oh, okay.
Things like that.
Right, so, exactly. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was, I know you were talking about WWE stuff, but I usually like AEW Dynamite. I think the show is, for the most part, pretty good since it started October. But there's two things they did on that show that really bothered me.
Oh.
Number one was, people got to know who people are when they make debuts. Like, that's why they used to do vignettes for wrestlers when they would debut, is that you would get accustomed to the character before he started. If we watch a wrestler for 30 years, I have no idea who the Butcher and the Blade are.
And one's local boy, Pepper Parks.
They're underneath the ring, and they're attacking Cody Rhodes, the top babyface in AEW.
Yeah, that one guy is from Buffalo, Pepper Parks. Is he not the one with the monocle, is he?
He was the one who...
he's the Blade.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
the first one that came out.
Yeah. So I was going to say, you know, that, I mean, I'll tell you, I was on Twitter when that happened, and it's like, the people who know him were like trumpeting him. The people who are like other, just like you, are like, who are these guys?
Yeah,
and that was the vast majority of the people.
Yeah, I was gonna say they took Cody Rhodes out after he was already taken out. So
yeah, exactly. It's like they could have had like 3 or 4 weeks of vignettes to build to why they don't like Cody because he's the EVP and all that stuff, and then did that, and it would have been more effective in my opinion.
I agree, and I think they're trying to rush some stuff now because I don't think. We've said it on the show before, how many people are actually working for this company and how many people we've actually seen on TV working for this company. And they're giving plenty of time to the elite to get over. You know, I mean, this past week we got to see a lot of the elite on TV, you know, and it's like, but if they want to be a touring company to making money, they're going to have to get some more of these personalities. These guys probably were signed for a while, I'm guessing, you know, but... And in fact, it's funny, is I think, isn't it Pepper's wife who...
Yeah, Allie.
I was thinking about that for a second. Isn't that the crazy Allie who had the lipstick all over her face and Impact
No,
wrestling?
That was not Allie.
No, that's not Allie?
That was Lauren Van Ness.
Oh, okay.
Right. That's Zack Ryder's
Chelsea
woman.
Green, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that's Zack Ryder's woman.
Yeah.
Yes, Chelsea Green.
Yeah.
And speaking of what you were just talking about the elite, that makes me to my other point. There was a match between Adam Page and MJF on this past week's show. And right in the middle of the match, like Excalibur just drops, oh, by the way, Hangman Adam Page is no longer a member of the Elite. It was on the Being the Elite YouTube show that he announced that he's no longer a part of them. Now, yeah. I'm telling you, there's hundreds of thousands of people who watch Dynamite every week who've never seen Being the Elite. You got to show that on television, in my opinion.
You know, they've shown clips from the video. I think they've alluded to quite a few times, but you're right. I mean, the other thing is they have 2 hours of TV time, so they've got to cram everything they can into that time. And I think that you know, these guys have been doing the Elite TV show for what, like 4 or 5 years now, ever since the New Japan stuff.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's just like it's still a fad. Not everybody knows that Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks are even the Elite to begin with, much less that Adam Page was in it. I know, and hardcore wrestling fans know. But, like, I think you could have made that women's tag match about 5 minutes shorter and then used that 5 minutes in a better way, like telling people that Adam Page is no longer in the Elite and showing that clip.
I think that if they're listening to this show right now, you're hitting your target for maybe they'll change things up. But, I agree. And, I mean, you know, and now I think I didn't see the numbers from this week because of the holiday, but I'm guessing NXT probably won over AEW again. Just
it'll come out till Monday, so we won't know till then.
I'm just guessing it is because they beat them last week, and then this week, after all the exposure that NXT got on the pay-per-view the whole weekend, you know, winning 4-1 to 2 or whatever over everybody else in the head-to-head matches, as well as, you know, it was a good show this past week. I mean, you know, I've got a great, you'll hear it later in the show, a great line from Ciampa during the show. But, man, we got to go to break, man. Thanks for calling,
Absolutely,
Mike.
Absolutely, guys. You have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. 222-1280, star 1280 is the number. We have to hit the breaks, but that's, you know, there's a lot. There's some other stuff we didn't talk about, and those pay-per-views are in particular that we'll probably get to eventually. But also, how can we not talk about Seth Rollins and what he did on Monday night? And did he do what we thought he did? That's the question. 222-1280, star 1280's number. We'll be back right after these messages on Fox Sports 1280.
Hey, look, guys, I tried to get him here. I'm sorry. He didn't want to show up. He wants to sit behind a desk in Los Angeles and talking about a change that he's too afraid to make himself. But this isn't about him, okay? This is about all of us right here in this ring, this locker room.
You heard it right, folks. Littlebitofthebubbly.com.
They'll probably sell out tonight, Excalibur.
Oh. Those Nepalese greats.
I've said on numerous occasions that the Yes Movement is dead. But maybe, just maybe, you guys brought it back to life. So, I have one question for you. Bray Wyatt challenged me to a Universal title match. Let me ask you this. Do I accept? It feels incomplete without me doing it with you. Yes! 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 Yes!
Welcome back. Looks like Bray Wyatt brought Daniel Bryan back to the people. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. I'm a cash man with Danger Boy, Furby, and you. And even Sam's in the studio here with me. And he just reminded me of something going to break. You guys see Sheamus last night?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Looked pretty good.
He, man who was dealing with spinal stenosis, I believe.
He's lost 40 pounds.
Really? So he means he didn't have a lot of fat on him in the first place.
No.
He had those giant legs.
To begin with.
Yeah, so what? He probably lost 40 pounds of muscle, I'm guessing.
I mean, he had to probably lose some of it. I mean, having the spinal stenosis, you're kind of limited in a lot of the things you can do for a little while.
And it made Edge retire.
What's that?
It made Edge retire.
Yep. Yeah, I mean,
you guys got to put headphones on in there. The only way you're going to hear me every time is if you have them on your head.
I hear you the whole time.
Okay, whatever. Danger Boy is a bad example of showing people how to do radio, okay? No headphones. But nevertheless, yeah, he Edge has spinal stenosis, and he had to retire. But, I mean, I guess maybe it wasn't extreme. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it depends on the person, too, because that's what Ciampa just came back from, was spinal stenosis. And he worked through it, and he looks fantastic as well.
He does.
It all depends on the person. Like, Edge said he could wrestle right now, but it might not be good for him in the future. So it all depends how you work on it and all that stuff. That's what Sheamus has been working on. He's been working on different workouts and stuff like that to get to it. He was wrestling through it for a while, too.
Remember, you saw the pictures of him in the referee shirt, right, where they were thinking about maybe moving him to a referee.
They couldn't move him to a referee. He's bigger than everybody.
I know. I was going to say, that's a problem with like some guys in this business, is if you're bigger than all the stars, you probably aren't going to have a job as an announcer or a referee.
He would never be able to be knocked down.
I know.
No one would believe it.
No one would believe it. You're correct. You're correct. So
you had to get these hands.
Yeah, so that's exactly. So you got to get these big guys. And so, hey, welcome back to the show. I want to remind you, we're going to be out at Salvatore's at the Garage Door in 2 weeks for UFC 245. Come on out and hang out with us. It'll be a good time, I promise. But I teased as I went to break about teased a bunch of things going into break. But I did mention, you heard that first clip going into break with Seth Rollins addressing the CM Punk chants, right? First thing he said on Monday Night Raw was, "I've invited him down here, and he didn't come down." You know, and apparently that caused some heat backstage, big time, because he actually addressed the chants for once.
Well, yeah, he addressed the chants, and the reason it caused heat wasn't because he mentioned or he addressed CM Punk. It's because he was pushing a match that's never going to happen.
Pretty much.
Vince hates promoting something that won't happen, which is a shocker to me because he does it every week.
He does it all the time. You know, it's every time on TV that he'll promote something that doesn't happen. So, but, well, you know, I mean, you've read the back and forth from Seth Rollins and CM Punk. So, I mean,
it's mostly just Seth Rollins because he's terrible at Twitter.
Well, CM Punk. But yeah, I watched the episode of Backstage last week where CM Punk said the first thing you need to do is to stop tweeting. You know, he told
he's not wrong.
No. So
Seth is terrible at Twitter.
Apparently so. But Seth also kind of pulled a heel turn on us this past week. Is it a heel turn? That's a question.
I think it will be.
Well, he sat there and degraded everybody around the ring. He brought all Raw out there and talked about how they did so poorly at Survivor Series and pointed out a few people who did particularly terrible, like Rey Mysterio Jr. and Randy Orton. Of course, KO comes into the ring and, gives him the stunner. And walks out after, you know, which leads to what happens at the end of the show, which a match between the two. And then apparently the Authors of Pain couldn't do anything until this past week because they got, one, they had a match, and two, they came in and interrupted and beat up Kevin Owens at the end of the show. And then let Seth Rollins, you know, come out and curb stomp him a few times before he finished him off. So I don't know. You know, a lot of people are saying, Seth Rollins part of AOP now? Are they like working together? I mean, everyone, Seth Rollins.
It's the new Shield.
Well, his last heel run, he had J&J Security, so maybe upgrade and got AOP now.
Yeah, so it wouldn't be a bad, because AOP looked at him when he was in the corner and they didn't do anything to him. They just beat up Kevin Owens.
Well, they also did play into it on SmackDown yesterday, because when they were talking, when The Miz was talking to Daniel Bryan about facing The Fiend again, he goes, he changes people. And if you look,
I know he did.
He took on about Finn Balor. Finn Balor's bad now.
Yeah.
He took on Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is bad now.
Yeah, he did point that out. I know.
And took on Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan's good again.
So
that's actually pretty interesting to think of. I never really
thought
about that.
So The Fiend is like he changes the polarity of good and bad with all the wrestlers he takes on. It's interesting. I like, did you see The Fiend belt, by the way?
Yes, I saw that. It's creepy, but I love it.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. With his face on the middle of the belt with his mouth open. It's kind of getting very, very hack-slashy-ish, you know, like kind of like hack-and-slash movies. You know, I think of like Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees and stuff.
And then they whip something out like the new Muscle Man dance.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, sorry, the Muscle Man rap.
It was the Muscle Man rap, yeah. And the pig with all the marker in his mouth got to sing along with it, too, right? What's his name?
Huskus. Huskus the pig boy.
Huskus the pig boy. So what do you guys think? 222-1280, star 1280. You can also give us a call, or you can text us at that number. What do you think about Seth Rollins? I know there's a lot of diehard Seth Rollins fans around here who are probably kind of disappointed if that's the angle he's going. But if you watch Backstage, they're talking about how he's lost it, how he's losing. Which is amazing that they actually address reality on that Backstage show.
somewhat.
Triple H was on this past week, and Renee asked him the question, does NXT go back to being developmental now after what happened in the last couple of weeks? Triple H said no. You know, they can't. So it's like, so NXT will be on an even platform. For those of you who don't like NXT, sorry, it's your loss. You know, I mean, they developed some of the greatest guys in this business. Unfortunately, they will be less developing now and more trying to put on a mainstream
show. Well, they'll still do developing during the week. They still have the training performance center and all that stuff. You'll just see the more polished people on TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. So, there's some guys on there that should be on WWE. We've been saying that for years. Some of the guys, like probably the whole Elite as well, Undisputed Era. Sorry, I get confused a little bit. Same kind of group, though. You know, Undisputed Era, every single man involved in that should be on WWE TV. And unfortunately, Bobby Fish got hurt this past week on the TV taping.
Well, it was a false alarm, apparently.
Oh, was it? Because all of a sudden, Roderick Strong was a tag team partner when they came back from commercial break.
He didn't get caught right. They thought he had a mild concussion. Apparently, he was walking around fine backstage after the show. But they did switch him out, and Roddy was wrestling in his dress shoes.
Roddy's great. Roddy's the one guy. He won. I mean, he won his match when it came to the three-way at Survivor Series.
That was actually a very surprising result for me.
Well, when NXT won the first one, I said, oh, they're going to sweep everything. They're going to take everything. But what did you guys think about Survivor Series? What was your thoughts on the show? I mean, besides the fact that it ended like 10:20, I think it was really an early end for a
It was 3 hours still.
It was
3 hours.
You know, and there was matches on the pre-show too. So, but I mean, I think it ended pretty early. But you know, I mean, Vince McMahon was very unhappy with some of the matches, including the three-way with the women.
I thought it was laid out terribly.
Do you think so? Because apparently there were stories, and these were untrue ones, but there were stories. Or they might be untrue. No one can verify that he was sending down high spots for the ladies to do in the match because he felt that they were losing the crowd.
Well, they did lose the crowd. It's because they would do the old school three-way dance thing of doing two people in the ring and one person outside of the ring hurt, and that person outside of the ring hurt most of the time was Becky.
Yeah, true. But wait a second. Shayna Baszler was out there for quite a while, too, at one point.
Yeah.
So, you know, but and Shayna Baszler won the whole thing in the end, and you know, I mean,
and then got beat up.
Did you really feel that this was the brand versus the brand versus the brand? I mean, was that a fighting angle that they use in the selling this pay per view, this live event?
No, the only thing I think that came out of the pay per view for anything like that was they built up Rhea Ripley to where she's a star now, and they built up Keith Lee.
And if you look at Rhea Ripley standing side by side with a lot of the other women, she's so much bigger than all of them.
Yeah, and to think she's only 23 years old.
She's huge.
And she's gorgeous, too, by the way.
I think they've definitely built a legitimate star in Rhea Ripley. And I guess if my one take on Survivor Series last week is they definitely made NXT legitimate. That's exactly what they did. For a lot of the people who at first were not watching it, I think they now see it and can understand that NXT is legitimate. And I think they did a fantastic job with it. I do agree that the main event was not good. It was not good. And then to have Baszler beat Bayley, tap her out, and then to end the show with Becky still standing tall kind of defeated the purpose of Baszler winning the match to me. But it's my take.
I agree. 222-1280 star 1280 number. We've got Troy from Rochester. What's up, Troy?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Happy belated Thanksgiving to you guys.
Happy belated Thanksgiving to you too, sir.
How was your Thanksgiving? What did you guys do?
We Pink Clinic all got together, and we were in a tent out in my backyard, and we had turkey and stuffing and all this stuff.
Oh, that was bad. That's unique, too.
No, we didn't do that. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
We all I was about to say, that would have been unique. Well, bad weather. The weather wasn't bad.
No, we all went our separate ways and did our own thing. So, yeah, but hope you had a good one, too, sir.
Oh, yeah, family and love. Ain't nothing like it, you know, this time of the year. I love this time of the year. This time of the year, to me, we start looking towards who's going to be at WrestleMania and the Royal Rumble. We know who's going to win the Royal Rumble. We already know Randy Orton is going to be at WrestleMania. We know Braun Strowman is going to be at WrestleMania. We know Roman Reigns is going to be at WrestleMania. Seth Rollins is going to be at WrestleMania.
I'm guessing all the wrestlers are going to be at WrestleMania. Yeah, I'm pretty sure of it.
Yeah, but no, because we got a big roster. But also, you got to remember the returning stars too. Where they're going to fit in? Lars Sullivan. Where's he going to fit in that?
Oh, Lars Sullivan is such a big mystery. I don't know if we're ever going to see really what they wanted to do with him. You know,
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of guys that are hurt coming back, but I mean, you know. Having someone who you know works for the WWE, when they say mm-hmm. WrestleMania weekend, every single person who works for that company is there. So mm-hmm. everyone will be there in one aspect or another. And, but you want to know where on the card, you know, I mean, who's going to mm-hmm. be, what the main event's going to be. Obviously, we're building up to another Roman Reigns main event against...
The Fiend.
Is it going to be The Fiend? Okay, yeah. So yeah, we got that mm-hmm. coming on. I think we also have, yeah, I have the other title belt on TV on there too. So it'll be Brock Lesnar versus... Mm-hmm. Seth Rollins, possibly.
I think there's a good chance it could be Cain Velasquez.
If Cain gets back, yeah. I mean, if he had the surgery. I don't know if he's...
Supposedly he doesn't need the surgery anymore.
Oh, really?
He was back training for the Mexican tour.
So, yeah, right now there's a lot of theories on what could happen. What will happen? I don't know. Maybe Daniel Bryan's Yes Movement will take over everything again and put him back up in the main event.
Yeah, who knows? Plus, you know, Undertaker's going to have a match. So, you know, that's going to be good.
Yeah, I know. Is that for sure? I mean, Undertaker is more than willing to. I think that's a feeling I got when he was interviewed by Steve Austin. He's more than happy to come back. It's just got to mean something to him, and it's got to mean something who he's taking on. Like, remember the year he took on Bray Wyatt, and nobody mm-hmm. cared? You know? Bray Wyatt's been in a lot of WrestleMania matches that nobody's cared about. Remember John Moxley or Dean Ambrose versus him? Yeah, it was terrible. So...
Yeah, but we got this time of the year. I love it, wrestling wise. So we're building up to the Royal Rumble and then WrestleMania. You know, speaking of Shayna Baszler and Becky Lynch ending, you know that's setting up for a main event at WrestleMania, right? Those two will meet at WrestleMania.
Well, Becky Lynch and Shayna Baszler.
Yeah, that's why they did that angle. You know, just like remember when they did that with Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch. Last year?
Yeah. I mean,
similar angle?
I think there's also a good chance that we could still see Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch in WrestleMania versus each other.
And there's been a lot
of talk.
Because
they never got that singles match.
Yeah.
I mean, don't count out Rousey coming back at Royal Rumble and winning the Royal Rumble. I mean, I can see what you're saying with Baszler possibly coming through, winning the Royal Rumble and facing Becky Lynch. That's always a good chance that could happen. But don't count out Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, I think and Ronda has said she's not done, so... Whatever that means.
How far is Nia Jax away from returning?
Nia Jax needs to come back from an injury before she can retire. I think she's.
No, I said returning.
Oh, return. I thought you said retirement.
No. How far away is she from?
She had two knee surgeries, you know. So I
double ACL surgery.
Yeah, so I don't know how long that takes, but I know that. If you follow Paige on Instagram, every once in a while, Nia Jax is hanging out with her. She seems to be able to get around okay. You know, she'll be back soon, I think. So, you know, sooner than later, but maybe not in time for WrestleMania. Come on, it is almost December. Tomorrow will be December. And then and then we'll have 4 months until WrestleMania. So everything's got to be settled by then. Mm-hmm. They got to be right. They got to be right in the spot now, knowing what they're going to go in that direction because it's that close, you know?
Yeah. What did you guys think of the final two, Roman Reigns and Keith Lee?
I enjoyed it.
I think Keith Lee had a great weekend. If anybody was a big winner from the past weekend, it was Keith Lee.
Then he killed Adam Cole.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think about the end? We didn't even talk about the War Games takeover, but did you see that?
I've seen part of it. I didn't see it all.
Okay, because it was well worth watching. But, you know, those guys, we got to see a lot of double duty for NXT. And it might change the way NXT takeovers are done now if they're going to be held on even parallel with WWE. Because they can't have two pay-per-views in a weekend for the same maybe they can. I don't know. I don't know how long this will last like this.
I think you'll start seeing NXT matches on the main pay-per-views as well as... Like your Royal Rumbles and your WrestleManias, necessarily your TLCs, but you'll start seeing them there because they're going to be doing takeovers the night before, and you'll see Takeover getting their own nights like that is in February.
Yeah,
it's getting a Sunday.
Oh, really? Cool.
What do you guys think about AEW taking the Bash of the Beast name?
Taking what?
Bash of the Beast name from the WWE.
Yeah, we were going to talk about that in a little bit. Why don't you, and we got to run. Sorry, we have to run. We have to go to break. But thank you for calling, man. I appreciate it. But yeah, Bash at the Beach was a WCW thing. And that unfortunately, I don't know if there's copyright issues with it or not, but WWE, they said the lawyers were going to go after it. So, but it's only, the Bash at the Beach is only for the thing that Jericho's doing with the cruise, right?
No, it's they're doing a week-long lead-up to the cruise.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's going to be a Bash at the Beach, like it's like a fan festival and all that stuff, and they're going to do an episode of television after it, too.
Oh, okay. So, I don't know. I mean, I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago when I said that. Remember, Impact used to take their pay-per-view names and make specials out of the shows when they weren't doing pay-per-views.
Cody owns the name.
Okay, that's enough.
He owns a trademark. He got it last year.
Yeah, well, then there's nothing to worry about. WWE can't sue him, even though
they're suing him because of the Bash name, but we can talk about that after the break.
Okay, we're going to go to break. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
You have done everything you could to try to be what you think this company needs you to be, what you think this company wants you to be, but all you have accomplished is to turn yourself into a miserable, whiny, insufferable prick.
It's Theodore Granger's great, and my father, Ted Irvin!
One of the top 100 New York Rangers of all time, Ted Irvin.
I can't believe you're here! What do you got in the bag there, Dad?
I got some special gifts for the inner circle. Custom-made jerseys from the greatest hockey team in hockey, the New York Rangers.
And what do you do, Kev? What do? You just show up. You just show up, you lazy piece of crap. You just show up. You don't do anything. You don't do anything. You know what it is? You want my spot, Kev. You want to be Seth Rollins. But let me tell you something. You will never be Seth Rollins. Look, I didn't mean it that way. Look, I'm coming from a good place, Kev. This is the right thing to do.
This is Harper from the Bludgeon Brothers, and you are listening to The Pain Clinic.
Welcome back to The Pain Clinic. Thank you, Harper. Luke Harper. I was going to call him his real name, but I don't want to get into trouble. Living down in Florida now. I'm the Cash Man. I'm here with Furby and Danger Boy and you. Thank you so much for listening. You can call us at 222-1280, star 1280. Got a text here. What do you guys think? I'll read this text. You tell me what you think about it. So let's talk about how much they protect Becky Lynch now. She has quickly become what she hated Ronnie for. Thoughts? And Ronnie, as we mean, I think we mean Miss...
Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, Ronda. Ronnie. Like, she called her Ronnie, so
yeah. Yeah, she called her Ronnie a lot last year. Yeah. That hype. I mean, I can agree with it. I mean, I think Becky's been very protected ever since she won the two belts. I mean, they kind of let her have her free reign and the build-up to winning the titles, and... She's been kind of blah the last year or so.
Yeah, I mean, I think that people, you know, she trumpet every promo would say, talk about how tough she is and how, you know, she's changing the women's division and everything. And then you know, a lot of times all we got from her was that promo a show, you know. So, yeah. I mean, the last week, twice she came out and started shows. And she did wrestle one match. I think it was on Raw 2 weeks ago. But, listen, she goes out and works. I understand. She's a tough worker and everything. I never bought into the Becky Lynch push. You guys know, if you've been listening to the show, you know that. Everybody else has, of course. But, I'm glad that they at least don't have her acknowledging Seth Rollins as her fiancé anymore. Because people kind of, that kind of brought people down on Seth when that was going on.
Well, probably people down on both of them because we don't care.
Don't care?
There's no reason to care, especially they manufacture that feud.
Two really rich, pretty people are going to get married. Ooh, that's great. You know,
and they're protecting Becky, but they also, the end of that match was to set up what they're going to do, and it is going to be Baszler versus Becky Lynch at some point, probably not too far in the distant future.
Maybe Royal Rumble?
Maybe past it. I would go a little past that. I would go probably Mania.
Okay. So, and I mean, and I give Shayna Baszler all the credit in the world. Her facial expressions are incredible. You can tell, you know, I mean, Vince McMahon loves facial expressions. That's one of his things, is if you can express how you're feeling through a facial, your emotions through your face, then he loves you even more. And she's just, I'm not going to say ugly, but man, she makes an ugly face when she's not happy. So, and
I give credit to any of those NXT people who wrestle in those War Games matches, because they beat the hell out of each other and then still were able to wrestle the next night.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the end of the men's match. We got to see on the top, Thomas.
We got to see Adam Cole die.
Yeah, Adam Cole basically took Ciampa's finisher from on top of the cage through a table. And the funny thing is, Cole was the only one not to move after they were done. They're all taking, you know, curtain calls, doing, you know, bowing and stuff at the end, and he's still laying in a rubble of tables all on the ground. That was probably, I don't know, a story and a half drop there, at least.
That was
insane.
It was quite the drop.
Yeah, and he landed right on his back.
They landed perfectly.
They did.
And how about the Panama Sunrise that Cole delivered to Kevin Owens right on the steel middle there? I mean, that was insane.
How about the ovation Kevin Owens got when he came out? That place went nuts.
Apparently, they weren't trying to hide it backstage either. They didn't care if people knew he was there.
Well, yes. No, but they went from the fans went from booing because no one came out immediately to just going absolutely crazy, and it was great.
And then of course Owens comes out Monday and says, "I was paying them back for what they did to me on TV the week before." You know, Undisputed Era beat him up and whatever. He goes, "I was just going to pay him back." And he played a Raw. He played Team Raw on Monday night pretty well.
He played Team Raw on Sunday pretty well until he ate that DDT from Ciampa.
Yes. Oh my goodness. What did you think of overall all the matches? I mean, just a lot of action.
My one big problem with the men's Elimination Survivor Series match on Sunday was, it literally just felt like it was elimination after elimination just because of finishers. There was no really build to the match. I mean, obviously, there's, 15 guys in it? So, I mean, they got to get rid of people. But, like, it just, there was really no excitement to the match because it was like, okay, well, that guy's going to be eliminated. That guy's going to be eliminated. There was no substance to the match at all.
You watch, like, any singles Ciampa match, and he takes everyone's finisher about 6 times before he'll get, but he took one, and he was gone in that match, you know? I mean, I understand it. You can't go forever. You get 15 guys in a match.
Otherwise, it would be a 5-hour match.
You get 15 guys in a match. It could go, you know. And so they had to start knocking people off at the end. And they were rapid fire knocking people off there until I didn't realize who was still in and who was out at one point. And then when Roman Reigns, he's the one who got the final pin, right?
Yeah.
And it was like, when he got the final pin, it was like, isn't there anybody left? You know, but
it was a mystery at that point.
It was.
No clue.
Yeah, so it was. I think they learned something about what they can do and what they can't do. I don't know. I think you should save, you know, these three ways with NXT for like the battle, the champ. What is it called? The pay per view where all the champs take each other.
Clash of Champions.
Clash of Champions. Yeah, do that then, and you know, save it for then. And if you're gonna do like a Survivor Series, do it classic style. Don't make it like, you know. I mean, I don't know. It was. I will say that is the most Survivor style matches they've had in years on the pay-per-view.
It's also really, really, you know, interesting that they didn't count for anybody else outside the ring the entire match except for Braun Strowman.
Yeah, because that was the weakest elimination of all of them in there. So
they're afraid to pin the guy. They're afraid to pin Braun Strowman.
They've already ruined him. Why are they trying to save him again?
They should just heal him out completely and let him, you know, and then I will understand an undefeated streak, you know, but I don't know. We got to go to break. You listen to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280, or text us at that number. We'll be back right after this.
He can call himself the Demon. He can call himself the Prince. I know exactly who Finn Balor is. He's the longest reigning champion in NXT history. But I'm the guy that turned this place into the A-show. I'm the guy that turned Goldie into the most prestigious title in all of sports entertainment. Not Finn. So tonight, he wants to stand in my way. His mistake.
Hey, this is the Doctor of Style, the Slickster, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic. Yeah.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Nice little bump to come back with. Slickster.
The old Slick.
The old Slick, WWE. Whenever I think of Thanksgiving, I think of like the old school WWE stuff, except they had to show us the gobbledygooker this week. I don't know why we need to live through that again.
Because that's what The Undertaker thought he was coming out of.
Yeah, that was a great, by the
he
way.
He thought he was going to be the Eggman.
Did you guys listen to that whole interview?
I haven't listened to the whole thing. It's really weird to hear him talking with his southern accent.
Did you hear about this? There's one story he told I thought was great.
About walking up and having Buzz Sawyer naked answering the door?
That was kind of weird. He said he was kind of a shifty character.
He is a shifty character.
Well, I think he's dead now, so we can't, hindsight. But the story he told about Kurt Angle and Vince McMahon rolling around the airplane, wrestling, and Undertaker woke up and he thought Kurt Angle was beating Vince McMahon to death, so he jumped on Kurt Angle and beat him up to get him off of Vince McMahon. And because he said apparently Vince McMahon and Kurt Angle used to roll around all the time and wrestle. And it was a fun story, you know. He had some good ones. I mean, there's more I'm sure in there that he couldn't even say.
One of the ones that caught my eye was, and obviously I think it was pretty well documented. Obviously, he broke his streak against Brock at WrestleMania 30. You know, most people knew that he did have a concussion, but finding out that he literally says he does not remember anything from that night from 3:30 till 4:30 being woken up in the hospital, that was crazy. Just to literally have no idea what happened during that time frame.
It's amazing because you remember that match very well. And yeah, you could tell.
I mean, that was my pretty much one of my first WrestleManias back into wrestling after my little 4-year hiatus.
Sure.
And that was, it was huge for me because obviously Undertaker, all I knew was him being undefeated, you know, and just seeing the shocked look on everybody's face and, you know, but just knowing that there was a big chunk of time where he literally had no idea what was going on.
There was a couple matches, I think, in that streak where he got concussed too. I think with the Shawn Michaels match or maybe with the Triple H one. So he's you know, but that one was the, you know, I mean, it had to be something pretty special, and he doesn't remember a thing of it. So I guess it's good. Maybe you can claim it never happened, you know. So. We are down to less than a minute left, and there's any big news I missed. I did want to say that backstage drew about 60,000 less people when CM Punk wasn't on the show, so I suspect we'll see more CM Punk on it.
So what you're saying is Punk is a bigger draw than Triple H?
I haven't seen this week's numbers yet, but Brock Lesnar shouldn't be back. Isn't going to be back on TV until like late January as we get closer to the Rumble. And also, I talked about Bobby Fish supposedly getting hurt. Apparently not. And that's about the most news that's out there. Did I miss anything?
No, not too much.
Impact Wrestling this past week was like Southpaw Wrestling. If you want to go back and watch it on Access TV, definitely call it up. It was a lot of fun.
Talked about one comeback with Sheamus coming back this week, but don't forget Elias came back as well.
That's so right.
Alexa Bliss.
That's right. Yeah, Alexa Bliss did that. All we're playing. So we got to get out of here. I want to thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. You're listening to The Pain Clinic. You can hear all our old shows on thepainclinic.net. We'll see you next week, folks.